Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm looking forward to today's show because it is a you and I show, and by that I mean you are my guest. We're going to talk, we're going to put the talk in talk radio, talk some national politics here as we're a few hours out from the final presidential debate. We will hold out hope that it will actually be a debate. Hope springs eternal. The mics are going to be cut, so it might be a little bit more of a debate. We'll see what happens, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And also some 538 numbers, the political statistics website, 538. There's a story behind the story behind the story with regard to polls and voters and who's voting for who. Want to get into that a little bit as well, and talk all that with you on our live line, 790-2040. Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots, founder and principal of The Talent Store, will close us out talking about getting Tucsonans and our companies back to work well. So that is our show. Give us a call, 790-2040. We will have a chat. I want to start out this segment by looking ahead and talking a little bit about the presidential debates. And I want to use a New York Times article just to start the conversation, because I was reading the news as I often do. And I wanted it to lead into something else, because I actually Googled a question that I got an actual answer to that I want to share with you. But, you know, as most of these news sites are doing, what do we expect in the final debate, which is this evening, again, at 6 o'clock our time, for an hour and a half in Nashville. This article from the New York Times talks about some big questions here. Here's what we'll be watching for. And I actually thought it was pretty interesting. I would agree. I'm looking for these things. Would Trump dial it back? In other words, the president came out very aggressive in the first debate. Will he have a different demeanor? I think that's something to look at. This next question I'm going to come back to in a minute. Can Biden keep running out the clock? I want to touch on that one here a little bit, because this is a concern of mine that I expressed, I think, Monday or Tuesday this week, and I want to flesh that out a little bit. The pandemic, will the president, having had the coronavirus since the first debate, how will that impact questions, and will that be a feature of the debate? I think that's a good question. Hunter Biden in the crosshairs. I think this is a no-brainer. I think this is going to come up. It came up in the first debate. There has since been new accusations, new developments around Hunter Biden, the vice president's son, related to some of his personal issues and then also his personal and political dealings and the connection of that to the vice president. The media has not covered it, even if it's a non-story. The vice president has not addressed it, even if it's a non-story, and I'm not sure it is a story yet, to be honest, related to the laptop and all that stuff that's come out. I'm not convinced that it's worth something yet. Very well could be. Certainly, the next 2 weeks will bear that out. But Biden has given himself, and the media has given Biden on this one a pass. I think there's no question about it. Whether you are a Democrat listening or a Republican listening, I don't think that's a talking point. It just hasn't been forced to be an issue. I think the president will force it to be an issue tonight. I think the vice president will have to be more prepared this time than he was the last time. Vice President Biden, according to the New York Times, may face new pressure on expanding the Supreme Court. Yes, to this one. The vice president has said, "I will tell you before the election my views on packing the court," after weeks of saying, "No, I'm not going to tell you." And again, that's not a talking point. That's just what happened. Biden said, "No, I'm not going to make it an issue." The voters and the media, to some extent, said, "Hey, no, it needs to be an issue." And so I think that the vice president will have to talk about expanding the Supreme Court. A rare appearance on the debate agenda, climate change. I disagree with the New York Times on that headline. I don't think it's been a rare appearance on the debate agenda. It came up in the first agenda. It came up in the town hall. I'll talk about that in a minute. I don't get what the rare appearance thing is. Climate change has been on the agenda, on talking points for quite a long time. So other than that one, which I disagree with, just how it was worded, I think those are, kind of where my head's at of things that I think should be looked for. Regarding the tone, regarding the climate, not our climate, but the climate of the debate, the tone of the debate, and some of the issues. But before we go to our first break, I want to go back to one of the bullet points in this article that is listed as, can Biden keep running out the clock? The first paragraph, again, this is the New York Times, says, Mr. Trump has every reason to seize this 90-minute debate to make the best case for his reelection and attack Mr. Biden. But Mr. Biden will walk on the stage with a decidedly less urgent to-do list. Given his lead in the polls and his propensity for the occasional misstatement, Mr. Biden did not really need this final debate, on and on and on. So I Googled this. And I'm emphasizing that because I was surprised that I got an actual easy answer on this. And I Google, what were the questions asked of the vice president and asked of the president in the dueling town halls? What were the questions asked? Because my frustration, and this cuts to both sides, my frustration of the last many number of months, both debates and just the talking points, has been that I don't think we've gotten into anything substantive. We really haven't talked about anything important at a policy level, in my opinion. 790-2040, you can disagree with me on that. I brought this up on Tuesday, I believe, of this week, that my question, and this is what Republican strategists are asking the president, why don't you talk about your record? Why is it the constant tropes of the suburbs? Why are you constantly begging suburban white female voters for their vote? Why are you doing this? Because there is a lot of track record for the president to work from, whether it is criminal justice reform, whether it is funding for HBCUs, whether it is one of the best economies in a long time, whether it is the lowest unemployment rate for African-American and Hispanics in this country. Whether you agree or not with the president actually has a track record to talk about. The problem is he doesn't talk about it, right? And so I've been saying for at least a few days, at least this week, when are we actually going to talk about the election at hand? When are we actually going to talk about platforms and policies and issues? And on the vice president's side, again, I Googled this. What were the questions asked of the vice president at the town hall? And Quartz did an article on this, like actually listed and paraphrased the questions. I might post this on social media just because it's interesting. How can you contain the pandemic without crushing the economy? Would you mandate a vaccine? I'm just going through some of the questions here that were asked of Vice President Biden. What is your tax cut plan? It goes on here. If you lose the election, Vice President, what would that say about the state of America today? What do you have to say to young black voters who see voting for you as participation in a system that fails to protect them? I'm just kind of cherry picking here. What's your view on the crime bill that you wrote in 1994? Don't voters have a right to know where you stand on the Supreme Court? No questions on health care were asked of the Vice President. No questions about the economy were asked of the vice president. And I know this because Quartz did this really cool thing where they put a donkey or an elephant next to the question. There was healthcare questions were directed to the president. Economic questions were directed to the president. Partisanship questions were directed to Vice President Biden. Well, we have a highly partisan politics. How do you restore civility? Climate questions were asked of the vice president. Oh, and by the way, one foreign policy question was asked of either candidate. It was directed towards the vice president. Peace is breaking out all over the world. Troops are coming home. Does President Trump's foreign policy deserve some credit? Now, why do I go into all of this? I think some of those questions were not softballs, right? I'm not going to go there. But I think by and large, This election has been able to be framed around decorum and civility, which is a huge deal to me, but not enough around actual issues, actual policies, actual arguments and debates on the issues. And so when the New York Times says, will Joe Biden be able to run out the clock? I think it's a great question. And I think for some reason, this election has been allowed to be about running out the clock. And I have to say, I think there's some of the media that is to blame. I think President Trump is to blame in large part. I think the president has allowed this election to be a referendum on Joe Biden, who's not even in office right now, and not a reflection of the policy platform that he's put in place. I think there's multiple parties to blame here. This election, this conversation has been about running out the clock. And it frustrates me because there's actual policy to talk about. There's actual issues to talk about. Oh, and by the way, we're now years running, elections running, to presidents and presidential candidates not talking about housing, not talking about infrastructure, not talking about actual domestic issues beyond Obamacare and tax plans. Like, yeah, I mean, it's important, healthcare and tax plans. But decade after decade after decade, I mean, I'm looking forward to presidential conversations in years down the road where we actually talk about some domestic issues. And in this case, all we've talked about are domestic issues, very little foreign policy. And again, I think foreign policy, I'll close on this segment. I think foreign policy should be one of the main topics of this election. You have a lot of rhetoric, a lot of policy, a lot of successes and failures on both sides to talk about. And again, we don't talk about a lot of the foreign policy that's been a part of this of President Trump's 4 years. And again, whether you agree or disagree with what has happened, there's a lot of foreign policy to talk about. We're not hearing about it. So I'm always looking for the story behind the story behind the story. I think what you and I read, what you and I hear, the talking points that we get fed, that we feed back, is all the surface level stuff that never gets to really what the story is behind the story. I went a little bit long on that, but I got on my soapbox. That's kind of my forecast combined, my conversation around also with the forecast of what is the debate tonight. I think at this point we're just running out the clock. And that's disappointing because there's actual stuff to talk about that doesn't get talked about. I will go to a quick break, come back. We're going to stay on national politics. We'll go to your phone calls. And I also want to talk about some data. And there is some shift in who's voting for whom. And it's really interesting. I don't think any of us really know what's going to happen on November 3rd. And I'll tell you why. We'll be right back. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 10-3 The Voice studio. You're listening to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping the future. We're talking some national politics today with you on our live line. I was just messaging with a listener who said, you're saying a lot, but let's get to some calls. I mean, we're getting there, and we are. And call and interrupt me. I'll keep talking until you stop me. 790-2040. Our live lines are open. Give us a call. By the way, before we go to our live line here in just a second, KVOI is airing the debate. We talked about the debate in the last segment. We're airing the debate at 6. So you can stay right here for that hour and a half debate right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Let's go to our phone lines and get to some calls. Bruce called line 2. Bruce, thanks for calling in, for listening. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Zach. I know that you are probably as voracious a news reader, information gatherer as anybody, but I think you've outlined some of the challenges in this campaign for president. But your comments that the president hasn't outlined his policies for a second term, it's all out there in the news. The problem is that most of the media doesn't focus on talking about what President Trump's second term agenda would be. He's had to make those announcements through party announcements and through speeches and so on. He's very much on the record with respect to infrastructure, and he's been dying to do an infrastructure deal. You know that for the last 2.5 years or so. You know, healthcare, he is certainly on the record. I mean, all of the things that he talks about is drowned out by a really hate Trump, hate the orange man, fake news media. And it's really a disservice to the voters in the country who have to work that much harder to get to the real information, because the media is really an arm of the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah, Bruce, I think this reflects what you're saying. It's gotten to frustrate me again on the merits of campaigning and elections. This is not a, you know, I pick this side or I pick this side. This election has been really milquetoast, and it's been allowed to be milquetoast by a number of parties.
It's been milquetoast on one side, but all of the fire has been directed against the president, and they want to make an issue of his demeanor and his etiquette and so on. The people who are going to vote for him, Zach, don't give a hoot about, you know, how tough he is. They want a guy who's tough as the president of the United States. They want a guy who represents them and puts America first. And you know, I sat at the inauguration in 2017, about 22 rows in back of the president, right on the 50-yard line. And I've listened, you know, ever since I was a kid. I listened to JFK's inaugural back in 1961. Okay, there has never been an inaugural address that touched me the way he touched me, and the way that he touched millions of people who were watching that on TV. Because he said, "I am going to serve you." He has made promises and he has kept them. And it has hardly been it's been milquetoast on the Biden side, because, you know, they ask him questions like, you know, what flavor milkshakes did you get? This guy, you know, puts a cap on his campaign day at 10 o'clock most of the time. And he's completely off the grid this week. All of the fire has been directed at the president. And you know what? You know, he is sort of he can be a tough guy, and he can say some things that maybe some people don't like. But he tells the truth exactly the way it is.
Yeah, Bruce, I think it's an interesting point. Earlier in the week, I made a rare agreement with a Twitterer, and I said, boy, if Joe Biden got George Stephanopoulos, I think it's only fair that the president got Tucker Carlson. You know, and if someone said, well, only a Savannah Guthrie type character and the way she did that could really engage the president's style, and I could buy that as well. But, you know, again, this is not an endorsement for a candidate or another, Bruce. I'm looking at how this has all been structured, and I just go, this has not been level playing field. This has not been policy oriented. This is in the closing weeks, Bruce, I am just more troubled and more frustrated by how our system is working than I've been even the last couple of years. And I think you and I share a lot of common ground on why that is. So I appreciate your call, Bruce.
Yeah, we do. And just one last word. Tucker Carlson would be a heck of an interviewer. And you know what? He wouldn't cut the president any slack either. That's the difference between our guys and their guys.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, if anybody wants to do a little YouTubing of Tucker Carlson, now that you mention it, Bruce, he is often not fully the guy you see on his show. He does cut both ways. In ways that I think a lot of his peers do not. So another good point there, Bruce.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Bruce. Let's see. I've got about a minute and a half. I want to talk about here in the third segment some data on some polls and who's voting for whom that I think is really interesting as we close out our nationally focused three quarters of our show here. Charles is on line three. Charles, I've got a minute and a half, but I wanted to get to your phone call. Go ahead.
Well, I think the only level playing field is in a cemetery. I don't really think there is a such thing anymore. And there's a vitriolic sort of national conversation going on in a lot of places. And the difference between Mr. Trump and others in the past is when somebody kicked George Bush in the knee, he smiled, took a step back and said it wouldn't be presidential to respond. And when somebody kicks President Trump in the knee, he kicks him back in the groin. And that's the difference. And then people say, oh, he's not civil. Well, BS. He's responding to the way he's being treated. And it's about time that some of the Republicans grew a spine and did that.
Charles, I appreciate your call. I completely get where you're coming from. It's maybe one area of this that you and I might disagree on. I think there is a decorum and a tone that I think is important. And I think it's one of the themes that a lot of voters who voted for the president the first time who may be thinking about switching are probably going to switch on the tone component.
Used to be a tone.
There did. And I'm cutting both ways on this, Charles, as well. Charles, I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think this is you know, there's a lot of people who like the machismo and the tone of the president. But again, there's a record that could be talked about on its own, unshrouded from all that stuff. It's just not being talked about. We'll be back with more.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
Why I love where I live.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live.
Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 10-3 The Voice studio after that news break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tipping Point, in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're spending some time at the national level. We're mostly local here, but we are your one-stop shop for election 2020. And we did a forecast of the debate and then took some calls. I want to talk about some numbers here really quick before we head to our conversation with Devin Underwood from the Talent Store about getting Tucson's workers and employers back to work well. But I this week I've spent a lot of time in an objective way expressing some of the things that just aren't sitting right with me. A lot of Republicans who listen to my show get frustrated that I have the Democrats on that I do. The Democrats who listen to my show get frustrated at the Republicans that I have on. Folks get frustrated that they can't quite pin me down and where do I lean and where do I lie. And to me, that's what journalism is about and news is about, is an objective analysis. I'm not here to endorse and promote one side or the other. I want to put the information out there. We have a chat on it on the air, and you figure out what to do with the information. It's how we used to do it. And I know that's a little bit of a unicorn on talk radio where it's all about one, your side and the other side and promoting your side. I'm a little different, and I appreciate you listening. So this is just an analysis. But I'm always looking for the story behind the story behind the story. And I am feeling, and I've felt for a while, that what we are fed, what we hear, what we get told is the surface level stuff. And the story that is really important is under that. And a research from 538, remember Nate Silver started 538. He used to work for ESPN, complete data wonk, data guy, looks at the data. It's not politicized, at least too much. It's just the data. Put out an article that says Trump is losing ground with white voters, but gaining them on Black and Hispanic Americans. This is how the headline is read. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people lose sight of, I know I have, that Trump actually bettered Romney with the Black and Hispanic American vote. That he outperformed Romney, and some data is pointing to the fact that President Trump will actually better his own betterment of Mitt Romney. Now, it's not going to be George Bush 2004 levels, but it is surprisingly better than even the 2012 candidate. And I'm saying surprising because you would know that from what you hear and what you're told and kind of the Twitterverse and social media. What's interesting here, I'll give you the quick snapshot because I want to go to an early break for our conversation with Devin Underwood, is that there is some electoral shift happening, and I don't know how it's going to end. When I tell you I don't know what November 3rd looks like, I really don't know, and here's why. We know that President Trump, before he was president in 2016, won in a big way with white voters who were not college educated. And I'm air quoting that because at some level I hate this slicing and dicing. But for white voters who didn't have a college degree, won big time. We're now seeing potentially that is being carved into by Vice President Biden. Vice President Biden is pulling some of those back. Now, Hillary Clinton in 2016 did better with white college-educated voters. We're actually seeing some surprising shifts where the president is clawing some of that back. So in that sense, we're seeing a bit of a reversal in who is voting for whom. We are also seeing some potentially distinct shifts. It's not going to be not going to be, you know, tectonic. It's not going to be, you know, dozens and dozens of points. But we are seeing young African-American voters and young Hispanic voters inching toward the president. And what is interesting about that is that many say that President Trump doesn't need a tectonic shift. He needs to just cut into that a little bit. We're seeing that, again, he did better than Mitt Romney. He's doing better potentially with those voters than he even did in 2016. And if the if President Trump is able to lock in more of the college educated vote in some of those swing states, he's able to chip away with African American and Hispanic voters, especially young voters. The electoral map looks really interesting. And I say interesting in terms of, I think a lot of the polls have pointed a long time towards a landslide for Joe Biden. And there are days where I wake up and I go, that's got to be what it is. Just objectively, the numbers are crazy. But there are some stories behind the stories, behind the stories that are starting to bubble up. I don't think anybody knows what is going to happen. But we are seeing, I think, a surprising amount of African-American and Hispanic voters who are swinging towards the president. And I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out. Tom, we got to go to a break to
Can I just interject one more story behind the story?
15 seconds.
All right. And that is this. When Trump was running in 2016 or 2016, a lot of the voters, most of them in my book, didn't know what they were getting with Trump. A lot of people thought that he was going to turn liberal once he got into office, that he was not a true conservative. He has that track record now, 4 years as president, and I think that's going to play a lot into people making their decision.
A recent poll found that 35% of 18 to 29-year-old black adults agree that although they didn't like Trump's policies, that they liked his strong demeanor and defiance of the establishment. There's stories behind the stories. We try to uncover that here on Tipping Point. Let's go to our last break of the hour and head a little bit early to our usual conversation with Devin Underwood. Workforce pivots, getting Tucson back to work. We'll be right back. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. And Tucson, we are back. And on our live line is Devin Underwood, the principal and founder of The Talent Store. We do a segment each and every week called Workforce Pivots, getting Tucson's workers and employers back to work well together. Good morning, Devin. How are you today?
Hey, Zach. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm excited to be on the air with you today to celebrate a new company relocation in Tucson that was in the news. A sportswear designer from Seattle, a company named Wow, is moving to Tucson. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, always a good thing. I think that, we've got, you and I are both deeply engaged in what can we do to increase economic development and diversify the types of companies who have Tucson on a map as a location they can get to. WOW seems to be a small employer. I haven't looked into all of their merchandise and kind of their business model yet. But it's really cool to balance. I think it's a great balancer to what usually or typically comes to Tucson. So I'm excited. I know there's talent. In fact, there's one woman I'm already thinking of who was here in Tucson, lost her job in the fashion apparel space due to COVID, and there really is limited opportunity in that area. She was thinking she was going to have to leave, so hopefully they can snatch her up if they have any needs as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I started with that a little bit on purpose, Devin, because there will likely be a mix of hopefully a mix, that's always the goal, of folks who are hired from Tucson, but certainly as a Seattle company, and it's already been started, that there will be people who will come in who are already with the company, who will move here. And you've done a lot of work and research on things like trailing spouse programs, of how it's important to not just place the employee, but also figure out, hey, their partner, are they going to be able to be a fit here? We know that if that doesn't work right, then sometimes the employee who moved here doesn't stay here. Describe some of the factors that you see when you're working with companies who are either coming here or hiring from here. What are all the things that have to go right for a relocation like WOW to succeed?
Yeah, so, and that's, you know, that you can look at it from the lens of the economic development conversation at the very beginning when they're weighing which cities make sense for them, all the way through to the reality of their leadership team relocating here. But when you're talking on the economic development side, you know, you're looking at, so we've got our major industries, right? We have mining, we have aerospace, we have bioscience, we have optics. And so these are the big companies moving people in, but their spouse and partner, let's remember, 73% of households rely on dual incomes. And so even if this is a big promotion or a big pay increase for someone, or as Tucson likes to say, a lifestyle increase with reducing your cost of living, I know Tucson likes to advertise that a lot, there's still a big gap in household income if the partner, whoever that is, spouse, partner, in-law that helps, right, with the children and the family. If they can't find their professional landing, they're not going to be able to afford to stay, one. Two, you're going to look at, are they going to feel plugged into the community? Are they going to feel invested and valued here in Tucson? Are they going to find their professional place? And so those are big considerations. And a relocation can have huge costs to a company, whether it's one person you're moving in to work for you or a big leadership team that you're bringing in for your new location. And that's a major investment. And so retention is key. And how that trailing partner lands is a big piece of that retention. So you're looking at, you can look at household income as one factor. The other factor is feeling plugged into the community. And then the third factor is, you know, on the economic development lens, is there a diversity of job opportunities in Tucson? So likely that partner is not in, let's say, aerospace.
Right.
Like the person Raytheon's moving in. But is the industry that they're really built their career in here? Do they have opportunities here for them? And so I love hearing an apparel company coming to Tucson because that diversifies our opportunities for people here.
Right.
So that's a big piece of that puzzle. And then if we get political, right, which I know, God forbid, but, you know, the big conversation is this is mid-career talent, more likely than not that we're moving in. That's where our gap exists in Tucson. And that's usually where the leadership is for a company like a WOW that's bringing them in, right? Right in their mid to director level career people, right? Those new leaders or long-term leaders that are headed to C-suite. So what are they looking at in terms of why they're going to be happy here? In addition to their partner finding a fulfilling career and a professional landing, schools, and infrastructure. We double down on lifestyle. We double down on cost of living. We double down on low taxes. And we continue to forget about investment in our school system. And we forget that that keeps getting in the way of these choices, either on the economic development side or in who stays. I have had many stories anecdotally of people moving in and then getting pressure to leave, that investment not being retained here because they're not comfortable with the school systems and they haven't found the right landing for their kids.
Wow. And I'm sure, and I'm sure you hear that. We kind of kicked off talking about WOW, which is the company that is going to move in, bring at least initially about 50 jobs. But this holds true for long-standing companies, I imagine, like Caterpillar or Raytheon, companies you work with here in Tucson, Devin, who are bringing in talent from out of the city, who are asking the same questions. Right? This is not just a relocation question. It's a business growth question as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. And you get great. So here's the beauty of this retention model, right? Is the trailing partner lands well. We've got great schools. People plug into Tucson. They get activated, even if they don't stay with Caterpillar for the next 20 years of their career. Let's say they stay for 5, and then they launch something of their own. They're much more likely to launch it here in Tucson. And so it's this entire engine that gets lifted. That starts to feed each other. It's a big system of economic development that we have to think about. And so often the language in Tucson is doubling down on who we were, which is low taxes and cheap living. And that continues to just feed the retirement target model. We don't want to dissuade our retirement people who we love, who have made Tucson great, but if we continue to only double down on that messaging, we are not going to get the retention of these talented mid-career people that are going to feed this economic development engine in multiple ways. And it starts with, or a piece of that puzzle is, let's get the big companies that are relocating here or relocating people to here. Let's support them. Let's get these people landed nicely. Let's get their spouses or partners jobs. And then let's keep their kids learning and growing and keep everybody feeding that economic development puzzle.
Yeah, Devin, I think that's good stuff. And a question I certainly want to ask as we round the corner, because not only do you analyze these, but you also serve these needs, Devin. And I want to talk about that real quick. We just ticked under 5 minutes, but I had an interview last week with George Hammond where he talked about we're seeing our jobs numbers improve, but we're seeing our unemployment numbers not as much. In other words, that there's people who are not engaging the employment market, who are leaving it, or maybe aren't skilled for the new jobs that are coming in after COVID-19 shifted their job. You work with a lot of companies who are looking for talent right now. What are you seeing are some of the opportunities and challenges there? Are companies who want to grow and move through COVID, are they able to find the talent and skill that they need here in Tucson?
Likely. I think I've been working with a couple companies right now, both a for-profit in the green tech space, an international company that has their leadership here in Tucson. I've got a nonprofit client I'm working with, and a couple smaller startups growing right now. And I'll tell you, we're finding some really incredibly talented people and having some really exciting conversations, quite different conversations than we used to have. But nonetheless, really talented and great people. It still remains a matchmaking issue. And now, right now, getting in the way of the matches is there's just going to be a lot of people applying to a job. There's going to be a lot of when they apply, because there's so many more jobs they might be interested in, they might be even shifting careers because a lot of people have been at home going, you know, I don't connect with what I used to do. I guess my connection was with my coworkers and now I don't interact with them that much. What do I really want to be doing? How do I need to realign my career? Or what doors are closing in the industry I was in that may never really fully reopen again? And where do I need to retarget? And so they're going into these application systems in bigger numbers and are bigger lists to even pour through and really take much more skill and understanding of workforce to connect dots between industries or skill sets and to help show how those will bridge and be valuable in a new area. So, you know, if companies have reduced their recruiting teams or their talent acquisition efforts due to COVID, you know, how do you get that expert looking at your applicants and getting you the best top 3 to 5 so you're just interviewing, deciding, and hiring?
Devin Underwood, again, as we close here, not only do you assess and analyze these issues for Tucson's employers, many of those who are listening, what are some of the services or next steps that you can help companies do to think through some of what you just mentioned?
Yeah, you know, we've got, where do I start, Zach? No, but since we're talking about trailing partner, we do have a trailing partner program, and a big piece of that is concierging that person and then helping them to get connected with all the client companies that are part of kind of a cohort for the Talent Store. So that membership or subscription is called Talent Store Now. It's a really easy way to become an employer in a cohort of peers here in the community where you can get resources, you get support from the Talent Store in terms of just consulting time and analysis, some assistance in your own internal talent strategy, big discounts on anything we help you with in terms of key position placement or recruiting. But really, you also get to be a part of that network that learns about new talent coming in now. Mm. You get to hear and meet them first. And then you get to also have support if you start relocating people in for any reason.
Devin Underwood, what is the website again where people can go and do that?
Yep, go to yourtalentstore.com. Check us out. Put a time on my calendar. There's lots of different ways we can help from small to large companies. And we're very approachable. Our price is friendly. And we're ready to dig in and be a true partner.
Devin Underwood, thank you as always for helping us to analyze and understand business movement and economic development in this way week in and week out, and for serving Tucson's businesses and companies well. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
And that does it for our show today. We'll see Devin next week, and we'll see you all tomorrow. ASU President Michael Crow is my guest in the first half of the show for his weekly interview on this program. Take care, and we'll see you at 9 on October 23rd. Take care.